Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day for one reason only, to receive your phone calls and address your questions with the Basic Gospel. We've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. So if there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now. That's 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And this is your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The question today is this: are you a blessed person? Do you experience all the blessings of God in your day-to-day life? I think a very important question, because that's one of the qualities and characteristics of believers. They're blessed people. Sometimes we don't really act that way. Sometimes we really don't know that we're blessed. But the Scripture wants us to know that we're blessed, and the Scripture wants us to experience that blessing in day-to-day life. David experienced that blessing. Someone that was pre-New Covenant, lived back in the Old Covenant, but he looked forward to what Christ was going to do through his death, burial, and resurrection, and experienced the blessing of that in his day-to-day experience. And he wrote in Psalm 31, "Blessed are they whose sins or whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." So if you want to be blessed in life, I think this is where you start, with the forgiveness issue. What has God done with your sins? And God has taken them away in Christ Jesus. And so much so that he has declared us righteous in his sight. That's the great exchange. Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself, and in exchange, he gives us his righteousness. So we stand before God as righteous people. And in that declaration of God, we are blessed. Regardless of what goes on in life, regardless of the things we do or we don't do, if God has declared us righteous, then we can experience blessing right now, right today. Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that your sins are forgiven. And I hope that you know that your sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we want you to be a part of this edition. You can do so by calling 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now, so if you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question, why, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Come on in. Guys, a question from a friend that dropped by for a conference a few years ago. Her name is Erica, and she dropped by unexpectedly for one of the conferences that we held, as a matter of fact, here at our headquarters, from South Africa. And so I wanted to share this with you. She lives in, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this right, but KwaZulu-Natal. Anyway, she says, "Dear Bob, Richard, and Bob, thank you so much for your steadfast revelation of the basic gospel message. Sometimes we really need to hear the same message many, many times over to begin grasping just how loving and wonderful God is in spite of our circumstances." She goes on to say, "I was wondering whether God starts working in people that he knows will turn their hearts toward him before they come to Christ, or whether he only starts once literal repentance has taken place. Occasionally, on hindsight," Erica says, "I remember situations that seemed miraculous before I repented. It seems that God was rescuing me from potentially bad circumstances and situations, even though my heart was in the wrong place at that particular time. Thank you for your anticipated response." And it's signed, "Love in Christ." That's from Erica in Durban, South Africa.
It was very nice to hear from Erica. Yes. I remember the conference she attended. Just delightful, just so full of joy of knowing the grace of God, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the realization that she truly had been saved from her sins, had been rescued from the law of sin and death, set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. So it's just a delightful person, and she's been listening for many, many years, listens at most days on the internet, and we're just so grateful for that. But she asked a very, I think, profound question. When does God get into action on our behalf? Is it just the moment of salvation, or has he been at work in our lives before that moment, working things together, bringing us to that point where our hearts are ready, our hearts are ripe to receive him. How would you answer that, Richard?
I think the answer to that is found exactly in Jesus. God sent Jesus before you or I were even born. Now, other people had been born, but they had been promised. And when we read in Revelation that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God had us in mind from the very beginning. The question really is, when has he not been working in our lives? He's constantly trying to draw us to himself. He can't do certain things if we haven't accepted him because we're not saved yet. But he still works things together so that we come to these decision points along our pathway to choose him or not. And in another time, to choose him or not. And if we will, one of those opportunities, choose him, then all of eternity opens up to us. But in the meantime, he is constantly wooing us. He came to rescue us. We didn't have to go in search of him.
Yes, indeed. And I love the definition of love that Paul puts forth in his letter to the Corinthians. And the first quality of that is love is patient.
Yes.
And we look at that as an adjective. I mean, we have a very difficult time translating that passage correctly.
I patient you.
Right.
It doesn't work.
But patience is a verb there.
Yes.
And so God was being patient. He was pouring out his patience upon you before you came to Christ, and that patience eventually turned into salvation for you. I mean, Paul talked about that here he was, this persecutor, this blasphemer, this, you know, this guy that was opposed. You know, he didn't know he was opposed to the things of God, the things of Christ, but he was. And there was this moment in time where, you know, he was stopped dead in his tracks on that road to Damascus, and he realized truth. He had that moment of clarity, and everything changed for him. But as he looked back, he said, wow, the Lord has been patient with me for so long. Mm-hmm. He's been bearing up under all of my misgivings, my misunderstandings, my misguided zeal, and all of those things, so that he could one day save me. And so was God at work in Paul's life before he came to Christ? Yes, he was pouring out his patience upon him moment by moment by moment. That's how God works. He does love us, and he's always had us in his mind, as you were saying. And so we can count on the fact that if we say, God, you know, kind of review my life for me and show it to me from your perspective, show me where you were all along that journey, you will see very clearly that he was not just a little bit involved, but deeply involved with you for, you know, from the time you were born until the time you're saved, and then he came to live in you, and now he's your entire life.
Yes.
So you can count on that.
Absolutely. Sure, great to hear from Erica. And Erica, if you're listening, we appreciate your getting in contact with us, appreciate your question. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, and friends, don't take for granted this opportunity to pose your question to Bob and Richard. We want to hear from you right now. 1-800-677-9377, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. A question from Kelly, who lives in Tampa. She said, I have a question about the latter part of Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Is the day of Jesus Christ referring to his return at the time of the resurrection? If so, will his work continue with those who have entered into eternity prior to the resurrection? Thank you kindly for your insight. That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, the idea of the day of the Lord, I think, really refers to his second coming. And at that second coming, lots of things are going to happen. There's this judgment against the world. We talked about that in the month of October as we traveled through the book of Revelation. But there's also, at his coming, the resurrection of the body. That's how Scripture kind of lays that out. And so that's the completion of the work. And we're going to get new bodies. Our spirits have been saved once and for all. As our minds are being renewed, we see the salvation of our souls take place on a day by day, week by week, month by month basis. That's a process that we're in. And then at the end of times, at the Lord's second coming, there's this resurrection of the body. And that's the completion of the work, when our whole salvation has come together for us, and we truly stand complete before the Lord. We're complete now. That's what Scripture says. But that's in anticipation of his complete work in and through us.
Yes.
1-800-677-9377. A reminder, friends, that we have a wonderful 3-CD series for you called Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. It's yours for a gift of any amount to this ministry. And in this, Bob outlines some very important lessons, finding sometimes in life that the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. And he alliterates three of these in this particular series. So we encourage you to take advantage of this, a gift of any amount, Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher, to make your gift or and receive your CD series. Simply call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or you can click a prominent link at basicgospel.net, our website, basicgospel.net. Profiles in Character by this guy, Bob Christopher.
Well, we all want to grow in Christ. I mean, that's just part of being a Christian. And we all ask the questions, what am I supposed to do now, and how am I supposed to become a better Christian, and what does that look like? And that's what this series really addresses, you know, how we grow in Christ, what are the qualities, characteristics that he produces in and through us. And I try to reverse it and say it's not what you do, it's what Christ is doing through you. And if you'll look at what he's doing, you'll see all of these qualities starting to emerge in your day-to-day life. That will give you assurance, confidence, and just dear, sincere, deep thankfulness for what God is doing in and through you.
Yeah, Profiles in Character by Bob, and you can get yours for a gift of any amount at basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Baltimore and talk with Tom listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm amazed I got through this quick, as famous as you guys are.
Oh, boy, we are famous, aren't yeah. we? I'm telling you.
Or yeah. infamous, one or the other.
Well, I was just calling quickly, actually, following up on the last call you had, I think, on the previous show, where you had to shut it off after 30 minutes. And I also heard the gentleman that called from, I guess it was the New York area, relative to battling sin and Romans 7 and so forth. And I'll give an amen chorus to your previous caller. I know exactly how he feels. But, one of the things I think we do as Christians is what we get Apostle Paul's admonition in Galatians kind of backwards, you know, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think we many times we go about it, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, then we'll be walking in the Spirit.
You're 100%
right,
Tom.
Exactly right.
You've nailed that.
Yes.
That is the problem in the Christian world today. We're doing things backwards, trying to clean up the flesh, and in cleaning up the flesh, we hope that's going to enable us to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
But that's not how it works. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Well, I know I haven't heard really any other pastor mention this, you know, relative to Romans 7, but his take, because he studies a lot of Greek, and he's a very brilliant man, actually, and his take is that Romans 7 is actually an unsaved man trying to describe, you know, his experience trying to walk with God, and if you're saved, you're not going to experience that. And no, I don't think so. Yeah, because I don't care how much Greek you've studied. When I didn't know the Lord, I had no interest in serving the Lord. I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I didn't care about whether I transgressed God's law. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, Tom, I think Romans 7. There's scholarship on both sides of that. A lot of brilliant guys who say this is describing a lost person. There's others saying this is describing a saved person. This is Paul after he was saved. But I think the point of that is somebody trying to do good through obedience to the law. So it's a legalistic approach. And in that approach, you bring sins, power, back into the mix because we don't have in us what it takes to be righteous in the sight of God, or to do right, or to do good things in the sight of God. God is the source of all of that. God is the righteous one, and he gives us his righteousness because of faith. Jesus is the source of all goodness, and as we abide in him, we see his goodness flow through us. So I think Romans 7 really kind of puts the law out there and says, okay, this is what life looks like underneath the law, whether you're lost or whether you're saved. If you're trying to do good as a lost person, you're still going to find yourself saying, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. I mean, yes. They may not be things that would please God or trying to earn salvation. It could be other good things. You know, I'm trying to be good to my wife. And so here's what I need to do to be good to my wife. And, you know, wow, I find out, yeah, the things I want to do, I don't do. And things I don't want to do, I do anyway. I want to be a good dad.
I'm not going to yell at her today.
Yeah.
And then she looks at me wrong.
Yeah, man, you just blow up, or I want to be a good dad. And here's what it means to be a good dad. And, you know, by noon, you're an awful dad.
Yeah, your catch is, well, I like what your colleague said. Maybe the best time we're spiritual is when we're sleeping.
I only know that from personal experience.
Yes.
In fact, I've heard Dr. Stanley say that. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is take a nap. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Get your flesh out of the way. But I heard a preacher say one time, there was a young black man, this is back, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s, when this meant something. He wanted to join this predominantly white church in the South. And, you know, they had a system where the board would basically interview you, make sure you were saved and born again. And the man asked the young man, he said, well, how do you know you're saved? And he said, well, I did my part, and God did his part. And they thought, well, you know, we've got this young man dead to rights. He's talking about works now. He can't be saved by works. He said, well, what was your part? Well, my part was the sinning, and God's part was the saving.
I think he had it just right, didn't he?
Yeah. And then I understand is all the white gentlemen looked at each other. They looked at him and said, hey, you're one of us.
I thought a brother in Christ, absolutely.
I thought that was one of the best stories I ever heard.
Yeah.
But
yes,
anyway, well, I appreciate what you gentlemen are doing. And,
well, thanks.
You know, I do think one thing, though. I think the church in America, we do need more of the fear of God. And
I think when you talk about that, Tom, I think, you know, we need to kind of give some definition to that. I think the fear, what that's really talking about is a reverence or an awe.
Yeah. I think reverential fear.
Yeah, I think we've come to the point, and we think of God as just the big guy upstairs. We almost think of him as a Santa Claus type figure, and that's not the proper fear of God. That's not the proper reverence. That's not the proper awe of God. We've really brought him down to our level, and God cannot be brought down to our level. What he does in Christ is to bring us up to him, and it allows us to participate and who he is through the work of God's Spirit. So I think you're right. We need a proper understanding and idea of really who God is, just what that three-letter word actually means. He's not the big guy upstairs. He's not a Santa Claus figure. He's the God who spoke and the world came into existence. He's the God that has all power and rules and reigns and is sovereign over everything. And he's the God that is so powerful, yet he's mindful of us. He considered us, and he did something to save us. That should humble us to our knees in awe and praise of who he is and what he's done. Tom, great words today. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you, and appreciate it. God bless you, and hope to talk to you again.
Yeah, please call anytime. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Profiles in Character. Hold on, Tom.
Thank you. God bless
you. Well, let's go to Jim in Rocky Point, North Carolina. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. I got a question pertaining to, I used to listen to different ministries, and I guess as I got to listen them more and grow more in Christ and realize what salvation really is. At one time, I was taught that, you know, salvation was I got saved, and then now you got to do everything you can to keep it. And then I find out, you know, really that's not true. But some of the ministry that I listen to, and one particular one I can think of right now, I used to listen to him, you know, Wright Regman, thought he was great. Now I'm starting to hear, well, if you don't do this, I don't believe you have God in you. If you don't do that, I don't believe you have Christ in you. If you don't do this in church, I don't believe you have this in you. And it really starts to become kind of like a thorn in my flesh. It just irritates me because that's not what I know. That's not what I believe now. Am I wrong for that type of thinking?
Well, no, Jim, you're not wrong with that at all. I mean, the scripture is pretty clear. We're to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as Paul wrote in Colossians 3. And this may be a passage that you want to go and star, underline, and kind of read and really consider. Colossians chapter 3, love this particular passage. It says, you know, if you've been raised with Christ, or since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So if you want to know about your life, you know, what it looks like, what it's supposed to be, you have to look at Christ, because he's now become your life. We get sidetracked so often in the religious world, in Christian circles, because we talk about everything but Christ. But he's our life. Why don't we talk about him? If you want to make friends, Jim, you usually ask them about themselves. If you can get them to talk about themselves, they'll walk away from that conversation and they'll say, "That Jim, man, he is just the best guy I've ever met." Well, they know nothing about you. They just had the opportunity to talk about themselves. We like to talk about ourselves. Well, our new selves in Christ are tied to Christ. Our life is hidden with him. So if we like to talk about ourselves, you know, we'll talk about Jesus. That's who we need to talk about. So
exactly, and I like to talk about what he's done for me, not what I can do for him, because there ain't going to be really much I can do for him.
Like he needs you to do something for him.
Exactly, and I have to rely on what he does for me. And then, you know, I'm hearing this stuff over and over now. I turn the radio down, and I don't want to hear it anymore. And then I get to thinking, well, why do I care what he thinks about me anyway?
Yeah. Well,
it's like that. I believe Christ died for me unconditionally, and he gave everything that he had for me, and that I don't have to. It goes from I feel like I have to now where I feel like I want to because of the love.
And that's a completely different way of thinking, a different way of living. All of that is experiencing the fruit, of God's Spirit in your life. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Well, Jim, great words today. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, God bless you.
You too.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We're here, as I've said, every day, and we invite you to be here also. For your support of Basic Gospel in any amount, we have that excellent 3-CD series for you. It's Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. In the series, Bob identifies some rather unlikely heroes, and through their stories, you'll learn the secret to experiencing genuine contentment in life, the importance of being thankful in all things, and how to make a difference in the lives of others. It's Profiles in Character, yours for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and request your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or at our website, where you'll find a prominent link, basicgospel.net. If you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. And while you're online, we also invite you to join our email list by clicking subscribe in the upper menu. At basicgospel.net, you'll get late news about the ministry, upcoming events, and information about new products and resources to help you understand better the Christian life. So click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.